particular parish, I've been praying for you, and I've been anticipating celebrating this Mass with this community, which, if you knew me growing up, you would think it's kind of crazy, because growing up, I absolutely could not stand the Catholic Church. I could not stand going to Mass every Sunday morning. When Mom tried to make us go to Mass, my stomach would hurt, and I can't go to Mass, Mom. And the second Mass was over, I felt great. I did not want to come to Mass. I did not understand the teachings of the Church. I did not know what the Eucharist was or who the Eucharist is. I did not know the person Jesus Christ. But I did know a number of the people in the community. And in that community of that church I grew up in, I had a couple friends. And one of my friends, she invited me to a retreat. And when she invited me to this retreat, it was called Steubenville South. When she invited me, I said, I would love to go. And whenever I said I would love to go, I remember thinking, as those words came out of my mouth, like, no, come back. I really don't want to go. But I told her I would go, and she provided my ride there. She paid my way. And so I reluctantly went. And then on June 26, 2004, Saturday night at 8 o'clock p.m., Bishop Sam Jacobs in Alexandria, Louisiana, exposed the Eucharist. He exposed the Blessed Sacrament for adoration. And remember, growing up, I did not believe that the Eucharist was God. I thought the Eucharist, the communion host, was just a piece of bread. Did not believe it was Jesus. But remember, in the scriptures, Jesus Christ says, "This is my body, and this is my blood." Right? He didn't say it symbolizes or it's kind of like. He says, "This actually is my body and blood." And when Bishop Sam processed through the crowds of about 5,000 teenagers that night and came face to face with me before the Blessed Sacrament, God gave me the grace to finally believe that he was indeed present in the Blessed Sacrament, that he was the one I was looking for my whole life. I was searching and grasping after people and places and things to be happy. And in reality, the one who was going to make me happy was right there in front of me in the Eucharist the whole time. And so when I recognized that the Eucharist was Jesus and that Jesus was before me, I fell to my knees and I began to worship him. And I said, "God, what is your will? What do you want me to do?" And the first words that I perceived from Jesus that night, June 26, 2004, 8 o'clock p.m., the first words that I perceived from Jesus were, "I love you." Very simple, "I love you." He didn't say, "Josh, I used to love you before you became this big sinner," because I had not gone to Mass or confession in a long time at this point. And he didn't say, "I used to love you." He didn't say, "Josh, I'm gonna love you once you repent and turn back." He looked at me in the midst of my brokenness and my sins and my imperfections, and he said, "I love you." And then I perceived him invite me to be a priest. I was first invited to the faith community by my parents. And then in the faith community, a friend of mine invited me to encounter Jesus at a retreat. And then Jesus himself invited me to discern the priesthood, which has not only transformed my life, but it's been able to transform the lives of other people. All through simple invitations. In today's first reading, in the Old Testament, we hear about the prophet Elisha. Elisha is this prophet who had these amazing gifts and abilities to help to motivate people and to inspire people to encounter God, to follow God, to want to be with God in this life and for all eternity. But in the midst of his ministry, man, he was getting tired and he was hungry. And there was this woman who was wealthy and she had a lot of resources. And so she invited him to come and share a meal with her and her husband at her home. And when she invited him to eat, man, she gave him energy. She re-energized him. She renewed him so he can go out and do the ministry that God called him to do. And then he would come by every day because she simply invited him. And her and her husband were talking one day, and she was like, "Look, I'm looking at the prophet Elisha, and I think he needs a place to rest. Like, he's looking like he's kind of worn out now. Maybe we should provide a place for him in our home as well, for him to not only eat here, but to rest here, to be renewed here, to be recreated here." And so then she invited him again. "Hey, look, do you want to come and stay with us? Do you want to dwell with us? And he began to stay with them. And when he went and stayed with them, he was renewed even more and able to go out further. His potential to evangelize was even more because of this woman's gift through her invitation to come and stay with them. Her life was then transformed. His life was transformed more. And the people whom he ministered to, their lives were transformed, all because of a simple invitation. I have an invitation for this community of Holy Rosary this morning. My invitation, it's a very simple invitation. My invitation for you all is for you all to become saints. I want to invite you to become saints. Whenever I was doing missionary work as a seminarian, I did missionary work all over the world. But one of the places I was sent to was to Calcutta to work with Mother Teresa's sisters, ministering to the poorest of the poor in the slums of Calcutta. And I got to work at her first home that she opened for the dying and the destitute. And on the wall in that home, she wrote something to God. She says, "To God, I will give to the church saints." That's what I'm going to give to the church. I'm going to give the church saints. Signed, Mother Teresa. All right. We're all invited by God to be saints. I think, though, sometimes whenever we hear the invitation, we're like, whoa, to be a saint. I'm not like Therese. I ain't no Mother Teresa, right? But here's the thing. We're all called to be saints. Sometimes we get that calling and we say, you know what? I'm kind of young right now, so I'm going to wait till I graduate high school to be a saint. I'm too young. I'm a graduate high school, and then I'm going to get holy. And then after that, we graduate high school, and we go to college, and we say, you know what? I have too much things to study right now. I have a few parties to go to. I'm going to wait until I graduate college. I'm going to get married, have a few kids, and that's whenever I'm going to decide to be a saint, is whenever I get married and have kids. But then we get married and we have kids, and man, our time is not our own anymore. We have to change diapers at 2 a.m. in the morning. We're tired. We say, you know what? I'm going to wait till I get old and retire, and that's whenever I'm going to become a saint. And then we get old and we retire and we say, you know, I would be a saint, but I have bingo to play on Tuesday night. So I think to be a saint is to be a deacon or to be a priest. But then the deacon and the priest, we say, you know, we would be saints, but we have to worry about like paying the bills and opening and closing the church. And we have to worry about all these other things involved in ministry. We don't have time to grow in holiness. To be a saint is really for the religious sisters and the religious brothers. But then the religious sisters and brothers say, yeah, but, you know, we have to teach at schools. We have to run schools and worry about child protection safety workshops. So, you know what? To be a saint, it must be for the monks. And it must be for the cloistered nuns. But then the cloistered monks and the nuns say, you know, I would be a saint too, but I have to make soap. So I don't have time for that. We always push off holiness. And I think we push off this invitation to be saints because we don't know what it means to be a saint. Saint Jose Maria Escriva says, to be a saint is very simple. To be a saint is to be holy. And to be holy is to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus Christ. That's it. And what was Jesus Christ about? One of the most fundamental, foundational things that our God, Jesus Christ, was about was and is and will forever be community. Before Jesus Christ came into this world in the incarnation, he lived in community in heaven with the Father and the Spirit and the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they lived in a community of three persons, dwelling with each other, loving each other, in communion with each other. And then when Jesus Christ came into this world in the incarnation, he came in the form of a community of Mary and Joseph, the community of the Holy Family. And then as he grew and he matured, he entered into a new community of the disciples and the apostles and the church. He died, he resurrected, went to heaven, and again lives in community, right? Not only with us, but he lives in community with the Father and the Spirit and the angels and the saints, always dwelling in community. To be a saint, then, for us, our walk to be Christ-like, to be other Jesuses, is to follow the path of the Lord in this community of Holy Rosary, Catholic Church. And our geographical boundaries, we are called to share our gifts that are going to help each other out in being faithful to Jesus, to following Jesus, to being intentional disciples of Jesus. Just like in the Old Testament, the woman, she had the gift of hospitality. That's a gift that the prophet Elisha did not have. He did not have the gift of hospitality. He had the gift of prophecy. And so her gift helped him with his gift, sharing his gift with the people in the community, because her gift gave him rest, gave him renewal, gave him recreation. And his gift transformed her life and the people's lives by drawing them closer to God. We each have gifts to offer this entire community, not just the Catholics in this community, but every single person in the geographical boundaries of this parish. We have what it takes to transform their lives, because all we have to do is invite them to Jesus. And if we invite them to Jesus in this community, then Jesus can tell them what their gifts are and how he's calling them to use their gifts in collaboration with us and our gifts to build the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ will transform minds. Jesus Christ will transform hearts. Jesus Christ will do what we cannot do if we simply invite people to Jesus, and he will form them and us to be the saints that we're called to be in community. But in order for this to happen, we have to first do something very simple, and it's a simple invitation. Come to Holy Rosary with me next weekend. Masses are 4, 7, 9, and 11. Come to adoration with me. Right? Come to confession. Come and spend time with Jesus. Because if we spend time with Jesus, then he will give us the grace to discern how he's calling us to help each other out in our walk towards eternity and our walk towards becoming the saints that he desires for us to be. And if we live in community through invitations of going outside to our families, through invitations of going out to our neighborhoods today, through invitation, if we're going to go out to a restaurant today after Mass, invite the waiter, invite the hostess to come to Holy Rosary next week. Invitation when we go to work, man, I would love for you to come and worship with me. A simple invitation can draw people to encounter God, Jesus. And he would do what we cannot do, which is form us into the saints we're called to be. And if we become the saints that we're called to be in this life, in this community, the geographical boundaries of Holy Rosary Parish, then we can have a certain hope that we will be the saints that we're called to be for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven.